The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. The word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and my heart. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So it's going to talk about Jeremiah, that first reading. Jeremiah wants to watch the vengeance, you know, on the retribution. But I thought there's enough of that going on. So I thought I'd turn to a gospel that many people, perhaps you aren't aware of, but it never made it into the canon. There was only four that made it into the canon, as you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John just barely made it into that canon. But there was a lot of Gospels floating around that never made it into the canon. But that's another story. But one of them that came out recently is the Gospel of Thomas. And it's a sayings gospel. There's no stories in it. It's a sayings, only sayings. And he says this, Jesus says this, if they say to you, "Where did you come from?" Like you're asking this little baby, Josephine, "Where did you come from?" Say to them, "We came from the light, the place where the light came into being on its own accord." And if they say to you, "Well, who are you?" You say to them, "We are its children. We are the elect of the living Father." And that's who you are. And if they ask you, "What is the sign of your Father in you?" You say to them, "It is movement and repose." So his disciples say to him, "Well, when will the repose of the dead come about? And when will the new world come?" And he said to them, "What you look forward to has already come, but you do not recognize it." My dear friends, religion should tell us who we are and what the meaning of our existence is. It should not frighten us with a vengeful God who passes judgment on us at the end of our life. I don't believe it's right that this primitive image of God should still haunt people's minds and strike fear into their hearts. And I find it happening. It's sad. That's not what religion is supposed to be about. By contrast, if we stay with those consoling images that were shown in the Gospel of Thomas, we won't die in fear of a judge. We are God's sons and daughters, and we are the chosen ones of the living Father. We belong to this family, and it's a big family. Huh? And all of our last names is God. And when asked, "Where do you come from?" we can answer, "We come from the light." That's where we come from, the light. And it is a light that looks through these eyes of ours At least it should. Maybe it's often darkened and distorted, but it's still the light that shines through our eyes. And the good news, my brothers and sisters, is that we return to the light. So my hope has always been, and my dream has always been, that the path that we take here at Corpus Christi will transform us so that we can be free from fear when we cross that threshold that separates us from the next existence. Because it's only a threshold. In our religion, we have talked too much about death and the last judgment. We have spoken, I think, too little of eternal life, of eternal joy, of eternal love. That's what Jesus was all about, and Christianity is supposed to be about. And it begins here and now with all of us. So our identity is in the life of God, which is characterized as light in the Gospels. And if we realize our true identity, we wouldn't be afraid. His disciples said to him, "When will the repose of the dead come about?" And Jesus said to them, "What you look forward to has already come, and yet you do not recognize it." How many of us are walking around, sleepwalking, not aware of who we are and what we're supposed to be about? Eternal life here is here, and we do not recognize it. It doesn't start when we die. It starts now. It's in us. And so we should not be afraid. There should be no fear. Pope Francis, he'll be a saint someday. Pope Francis, who died just recently, he famously referred to fear as an enemy. I quote him, here then is the great enemy of faith, he said. It's not intelligence, nor is it reason, as alas, some continually obsessively repeat, but rather the great enemy of faith is fear. Fear. When I was praying with this, I was looking at different commentaries, and Heidi Boosie, I don't know if that's how say her name, she's the editor of Give Us This Day, which is a prayer book that a lot of us use and a lot of lay people use every day. While she was praying with this passage today, she wondered, why is fear so maligned in the gospel? And she found a compelling answer in modern psychology from a woman whom I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to at a conference at Harvard when I was a Dominican novice, the renowned psychologist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is the expert on death and dying and the different stages of dying that you go through. And she taught that there are two primary emotions that we have, and that is we have love and fear. But it's more accurate to say that there's love or fear. But we cannot feel these two emotions together. Exactly the same time, we cannot feel them because they're opposites. So if you're feeling fear, if we're in fear, we're not in a place of love. And when we're in a place of love, we cannot be in a place of fear. Heidi goes on to say that we were created out of an abundance of love for the purpose of love. So our decisions are made from either a place of love, which would be acceptance and compassion, of empathy and kindness, or on the other hand, from fear. And what comes from fear but anger and hate, anxiety, and guilt? So we are our best, our most holy, when we mirror the love for which we were created for. And so finally, the saints, whom we as Catholics venerate, many saints, they're not holy because they perform some heroic deed, even if that's supposed to have happened and been confirmed at their canonization trial. They call it a trial. They are saints because they are persons in whom the divine love of God made a breakthrough in this world. They revealed to us, in some matter of form, the divine is always with us and in us. And all Jesus wanted was for us to realize that we are children of God, that the kingdom of God is within us, and that we bear eternal life in our hearts. My friends, Christianity's most important task of the future is to teach people their true identity as children of the light, and therefore to lead them to their real worth. Huh? Which is more than two sparrows, by the way. We're not only called to be children of the light, we are children of the light. We are children of God. And it's time for us to stop looking for a redeemer from the outside. Redemption is within us. Either we see Christ in everyone, or we hardly see Christ in anyone. We either are Christ to everyone, or we cannot be Christ to anyone.